so I'm medicated, so you wouldn't want me to speak. Mucinex DM can take you out. I just want to just it usually happens. It's been a year and a half, which is beautiful. But so I had a plan for 8 weeks, and so last night I enacted it. And the ladder is a little part of that plan, as you'll see later. But what I want to do, many of you know, we had a soft opening on CR about 3 months ago. And we're going to kind of have a more major opening, not that anything else is going to happen really, but in September, you know, we wanted to kind of get up to speed and get our DNA in it and all that we are. So I've talked to Megan about this, and I wanted to do this. What we're going to do is we're going to have a CR today. And what I mean by that is you're going to experience what Friday night's like. Now, why do I want you to experience that? Not because I believe you need to be in CR. That's not true at all. That's all up to you. But I want you to know what you can invite your friends to. I want you to understand what we have here on Friday night so that you can be sort of like a fisherman. And you can go out and get people that are hurting and have hang-ups and habits that they need to break. This is a place of love and of meaning. And so we're going to give you a little picture of what happens in a way that you'll grasp it better than we could talk about it or announce it or give you a flyer in your bulletin ever. So I'm going to show you a short 17-minute video. Matter of fact, you're going to get out early. So you can pray for Jim to be sick more often, you know. But we're going to have a good time together today. Your hearts are going to be touched, trust me, from Johnny. This is the fella that sort of began with Rick Warren years ago, Celebrate Recovery, with his problems and his hang-ups, and they brought it in. It's around the world. It's enormous what God has done with this program that we now have here on Friday night. So with that, he's going to talk about denial, and he'll grab every one of us in the room, and for the fourth or fifth time I've seen it, he'll grab me somewhere new and fresh. So enjoy this video and get a picture of what CR is in our church. Enjoy.
Well, hey everybody, welcome to Celebrate Recovery. My name is Johnny. I'm a believer who struggles with alcoholism and codependency. Tonight is the very first night for Celebrate Recovery. Week one, we're going to start on principle one and step one. Principle one says that I realize I'm not God, that I admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing, and that my life is unmanageable. Matthew 5:3 says, happy are those who know they're spiritually poor. Step one of the Christ Center 12 steps says we admitted we were powerless over our addictions and our compulsive behaviors and that our lives had become unmanageable. Romans 7:18 says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. So this is where it all begins, right here, right now. If you're new to Celebrate Recovery, if this is your first time here tonight, we are so glad you're with us because this is the beginning and we're going to start at the beginning right here at principle one, step one. This is where the journey begins. Tonight, we're going to find out how we can be free from our past, from our hurts, our hangups, and our habits, how we can find some healing over our past failures. We're going to start this journey of looking forward to the future instead of looking at the future with fear and dread and fear of change. We're going to start the process of making healthy choices. Before we do, though, let's just all stop for a second and do a quick heart check. As you work the principles and steps, I want you to remember 1 John 4:18. The Bible says that where God's love is, there is no fear, because God's perfect love drives out fear. You are not here by mistake tonight. Each of you is here for a reason. This room is full of changed lives, and it's my prayer for each of you that you're not going to let your past failures or your fear of the future stop you from giving Celebrate Recovery a try. Let me ask you a question. Are you wearing a mask of denial tonight? You know, before any of us can make any progress in our recovery, we have to face our denial. As soon as we remove this mask, our recovery begins, or maybe it begins again. See, it doesn't matter if you're new to recovery or if you've been working your recovery for the past few years, denial can rear its ugly head at any time. You might trade addictions or get into a new relationship that's unhealthy for you in a different way than the previous one. And so this lesson is really for all of us, no matter where we are in recovery. So what is denial? Well, denial is a system. It's a false system of beliefs that aren't based on reality. See, as kids, we began to develop various coping skills. All of us did. Maybe you used humor. to deflect, or maybe you ran and hid. Maybe you did different things to get attention or to get your parents to look at you or to block out pain or fear. Maybe you hid under your bed or you argued with your siblings or you ate or you acted out in anger. It doesn't really matter what you did, but for a time, these coping systems worked. But see, as the years progressed, they continued to confuse us and they began to cloud our view of the truth. And here's the deal. As we grow, our perceptions of ourselves start to jive a little bit with these things. And we hold on to our coping mechanisms, and then they become our entry into denial. They start hurting us instead of helping us. So let me ask you a question. Did you ever deny that your parents had problems? Did you ever deny that you have problems? See, the truth is we can all answer yes to these questions. And denial begins this cycle. So it begins as a way to protect us, and then it turns into shame and guilt. Denial is the pink elephant in the room. It's the thing that everyone knows is there, but no one will talk about. It's the thing that we all pretend doesn't exist. It's the thing that if you brought it up over Thanksgiving dinner, everyone would stop talking. It would just be so uncomfortable. Here's some comments or some questions and different things that we say about denial. Just see if any of these sound familiar to you. You might say something like, can't we just stop talking about it? Talking about it just makes it worse. Or maybe, you know, if we don't talk about it, it's just going to go away. Or honey, let's pretend that didn't happen. Maybe you think, you know, it's okay. Those comments, those things that they say, they don't really hurt me that much. Or, you know, he doesn't really drink that much. Or maybe someone else uses more than I do. And there's all of these other things that we say that get us trapped in denial. As I said earlier, the first step to freedom, the first step in recovery is to face and admit our denial. God says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 14, you can't heal a wound by saying it's not there. Now, here's the deal about Celebrate Recovery. All of our lessons are in acrostics. It just helps us learn a little bit better. And so we're going to go through this first acrostic, the denial acrostic. And so let's just jump right in. The D in denial stands for disables. Denial disables our feelings. Hiding our feelings, living in denial, freezes us, it binds us, it keeps us stuck. And that's what so many of us want. We want to live in this state of being frozen, of being trapped, of kind of being numb. We just kind of want to like chill out and just kind of separate everything. This is what it was like for me. I just wanted everything to stop, to just go away. It's why I began to abuse alcohol. I was tired of the pain. I was tired of the stress. I was tired of everything happening in my mind, and I just wanted it to go away. And sometimes that's why we get into our issues, and denial just lengthens this. It just makes it worse. We turn to denial to make it go away. We pretend that if we don't look at our problems, that they'll just somehow disappear. I think of this like not watching the news. A lot of us don't watch the news because it's full of bad news. And so we don't watch the news because we don't want to know what's going on in the world, and we can just pretend like everything's okay. If I don't know about certain events or certain stories, they must not be happening. And that's what denial is like. 2 Peter 2:19 tells us that they promised them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of destructive habits. For a man is a slave of anything that has conquered him. What's conquered you? What's enslaved you? Maybe it's an old habit or a new one. Maybe it's living in resentment or fear. See, you and I will find freedom to feel our true feelings when we find Christ and step out of denial. The next letter in our acrostic, the E in denial, stands for energy lost. A major part of my story is that I hid my acting out with alcohol from everyone. Only a few people knew me as somebody who was a drinker. And so because of that, I had to always keep in mind who I told what to. And I was lying all the time, and I had to keep these balls in the air about who knew me, who knew what was going on in my life. And it caused me to lose all of this energy living in secret. When I came to recovery and I began to work my program and I got honest with everyone, I no longer had to keep that going on. I could focus. I was the same person everywhere. And that was a huge relief for me. Because a major side effect of denial is anxiety. And anxiety causes us to spend too much time worrying. I am a worrier. I'm really, really good at worrying. And as a result, when we worry, we get stuck. We either get stuck in the past, where we think about all the mistakes we've made, all the ways we've blown it, all the things that we've done wrong, and we just get stuck there. Or we get stuck thinking so much about the future. And we worry about what's going to happen and how am I going to deal with these things when they come. And we get so hung up in those things that we miss God's plan and presence for us here in the present. We let our fears and our worries paralyze us, but we need to begin to realize the only lasting way we can be free from our hurts, free from our past, free from the worry of the future is by giving them to God. Psalm 146:7 says, "He frees the prisoners. He lifts the burdens from those bent down beneath their loads." If you and I transfer the energy required to maintain our denial into learning God's truth, a healthy love for ourselves and for others can occur. We need to depend more and more on our higher power, Jesus Christ, so that we can see the truth and reality. Let's move on to the N in denial. The N stands for negates growth. Denial negates our growth. You've heard it before. It's a cliche in recovery, but it's true. We are as sick as our secrets. And we can't grow in our recovery until we step out of denial and into the truth. God is waiting. He's waiting to take your hand and to help you step out. The Bible says that they cried to the Lord in their troubles and he rescued them. He led them from the darkness and the shadow of death and snapped their chains. That's Psalm 107:13-14. As you and I travel the road of recovery, we come to understand that God never wastes a hurt. It's another cliche of recovery, and it's another true one. God never wastes the things that have been done to us and the things that we've done. But he can't use it unless you and I are willing to step out of our denial into his truth. Denial also does the I in our acrostic. It isolates us from God. Adam and Eve are a great example of how our secrets and our denial separate us from fellowship with God. After they sinned, their secrets separated from this amazing relationship they had with God. In the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 7, it tells us that Adam and Eve hid from God because they felt naked and ashamed. Of course, Adam didn't want to face his reality yet. He wanted to blame someone else. So he told God, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree." First, he blamed God. He said, "The woman you gave me." And then he blamed Eve. He said, "She gave me some fruit." But remember, God's light shines on the truth. Our denial keeps us in the darkness. But the book of 1 John, chapter 1, 5, 7 says, "God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." So denial isolates us from God. It also has another effect on relationships. It alienates us from our relationships. That's the A. It alienates us from our relationships. Denial says you're getting away with it. When we are in denial, we think no one knows the things I'm doing. Nobody knows what I'm doing in secret. That no one knows how I'm acting. The truth is that most of the time they do. We think we're fooling everyone, but most of the time people have a pretty good idea that there's something that's not right. So it alienates us from people because we have secrets from them. It also keeps us from helping ourselves because we can't trust the people that we love. We can't reveal our true selves because we're always afraid that they're never going to accept us. We're always afraid that they're going to turn their backs on us, that they'll reject us. And so before they get a chance to, we just say, "Fine, I'm just going to isolate myself." So many of us, we push others away in our denial. We go, I can't let them know the real me because if they knew who I was, they would never love me. If they knew where I've been, they would reject me. They would turn their backs on me. So we isolate ourselves to minimize that risk. But what's the price? Well, the price is that we lose our important relationships. So we have to find an answer. The answer comes to us in Ephesians 4:25. It says, "Stop lying to each other. Tell the truth. For we are parts of each other. And when we lie to each other, we are hurting ourselves." So remember, it's always better to tell an ugly truth than a beautiful lie. Now, that doesn't mean that we want to do it and just be mean all the time and just be people who are just like, I'm just going to tell the truth all the time, no matter what it costs me. But instead of lying to each other, instead of alienating from each other, we need to be here for each other. That's what I love about recovery. None of us here tonight is alone because we have one another. And instead of allowing our denial to alienate us from each other, when we step out of our denial into God's truth, we can find relationships, maybe healthy relationships for the first time. So I want to encourage you tonight to do that, to look to each other. Men, find some other men in this room to get real with, to tell the truth to. Ladies, same thing for you. Find some ladies in this room that you can talk to tonight, that you can begin to build relationships with, because they're so important at helping us overcome our hurts, hangups, and habits and find real lasting freedom. Finally, the last letter in our acrostic tonight, the L, stands for denial lengthens the pain. We have this false belief that our denial protects us, but what it really does is that it allows our pain to grow because we don't deal with it. So instead of going to the doctor and finding out why we're sick, we pretend like we're fine. That's what denial does in our lives. We go, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. And it just extends our hurt. It multiplies our problems. Instead of dealing with it right away, we allow it to fester and grow, and it becomes worse and worse and worse. Imagine if you had a toothache. Now, I hate going to the dentist, but imagine you had a toothache, and instead of going to the dentist the first day it hurt, you put it off for a while. And it got a little worse and a little worse. You pretended like it was okay. You put some cream on it. You just didn't brush or chew on that side or something so that it wouldn't hurt anymore. And it just kept getting worse and worse. Eventually, you are going to have to go to the dentist. And when you do, instead of a small little cavity, it's a root canal, or it's got to pull the tooth. And it's all worse pain and more pain, and it takes longer to get better. It's more expensive even. That's what this denial is like in our lives. Instead of dealing with a problem when we first get there, we put it off, we put it off, we put it off. And the cost gets higher and higher and higher. See, truth is like surgery. It might hurt for a while, but it cures us. God promises us in Jeremiah 30:17, I will give you back your health again and heal your wounds. Tonight, I want to encourage you to step out of your denial. Now, walking out of our denial isn't easy. Taking off our masks is hard. Everything inside you right now is shouting, don't do it. It's not safe, but it is safe. I know it's counterintuitive, and it goes against everything we've ever told ourselves or that we've learned from our parents, but we have to step out of our denial. Here at Celebrate Recovery, we have people who care about you, who love you for who you are, people who will stand right beside you. They're not looking to reach out and help people who they don't understand. The great thing about Celebrate Recovery is that we have been through this process together. And we're going through this together tonight. So I want to encourage you to look at the people around you, to trust them, to step out of your denial. John 8:32, Jesus tells us to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So step out of your denial so you can step into Jesus' unconditional love and grace, and you can begin your healing journey of recovery. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much for tonight. I thank you that you're allowing us all to be here so that we can begin this process of recovery. But God, as we walk through this, we're not alone, that we have each other in this room. God, I ask that you would help each and every one of us, whether we've been in recovery for years or this is our very first night, step out of the denial that's keeping us stuck. Thank you, Jesus, that you have given us this program and you have given us the way to healing. It's your name we pray. Amen.
Interesting, at the laugh points, nobody laughed. Because there's tension involved in hearing this. You know, we all kind of take a look at ourselves, huh? No, that's other people? Yeah. Well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to have Ken and Megan come up, and I'm going to sort of interview them so that I can give you a little bit of a picture of what Celebrate Recovery is like. I'm going to get myself a stool back here, if I may. Or I could start playing the drums or the bass. Yeah, right. That would be a mess. Fun, huh? So Megan, before we get started, yesterday was August 1st, I believe. And what is August 1st in your life?
That is our anniversary. Yesterday was our
23rd
anniversary.
Really? Cool. Yeah, she sent me a picture on my iPhone. I thought about bringing it and showing you, but and I looked young.
Yeah.
Ken had hair.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, you liked it. Oh yeah, sexy. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Enough of that. But my wife looks exactly the same, and I look so much older.
I know.
Smart woman. I agree with you 100%. So. Tell us, give us a picture of what Friday night's like. Start at 6, it begins, right? Okay, tell us what happens.
Can we identify first?
Yeah, identify.
Okay.
Tell them, give them.
I am a believer in Jesus Christ, a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, struggling with codependency, with anger, with fear, and with isolation, having found victory over drugs and alcohol. And my name is Ken.
Hi, Ken. So the reason why we're identifying is actually something that we get to do in Celebrate Recovery, and it can be a little bit overwhelming because you think, well, I don't know. I think we spent the first 2 months saying, hey, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I have issues. My name is Megan, because we didn't really know what our issues were. So it helps to be among the people who do that. And
now when somebody comes fresh,
they're
not expected to do that.
Right.
So it's kind of hanging out time.
It's hanging out.
Saying hi. It's like a cocktail hour,
but
I understand. That was humor. That was humor. You get that.
Yeah, yeah. We better not forget the hummus, because we did that once. People really like hummus. I have no idea. So
yeah, and hummus gives you really bad breath. If both of you eat it, but if one of you eats it, where do you guys meet at?
We meet in here.
Oh, okay.
Right on this very place. There aren't quite as many of us, though, I will be honest. It reminds me of the old days of Bay Cities.
Right.
I say that.
Yeah.
When I started in Bay Cities, there were three rows. We had one service at 10 o'clock.
We had big spaces between them to fill the room.
Between the rows, fill it in. And I actually came to Bay Cities through a 12-step program. So we have a service. We do worship. Our worship is kind of filled from the seat, so if you're in Celebrate Recovery, you're a part of our worship team, and we have a theme song called I Have a Hope, because it's called Celebrate Recovery. Yes, there's recovery, yes, it hurts, we have it, there's hang-ups, but we really want to celebrate the fact that we are captive set free. That God has a plan for us, and it's for freedom that he set us free. So we sing, you know, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. We sing all of these wonderful songs unto him, because we believe there's healing in that room. So we do that. Can you just share with them what you said on Friday night? Because that was one of my favorite things that happened. It was funny. My husband's late.
Yes. Which
yeah.
One of the things that I love about coming to Celebrate Recovery is that when I first started coming, I wasn't sure how involved I wanted to be. I knew I wanted to be part of it, but not really how involved. And one of the things that I have discovered and love about it is that it is a safe place. And the room is filled with real people. And the world needs rooms filled with real people, because you don't find that everywhere. And Friday night is the perfect place to find out. Is that what you're talking about?
No, but that was good.
That was good.
Hi, my name is Megan, and I struggle with control. So, Celebrate Recovery, we didn't come up with Celebrate Recovery. Celebrate Recovery was founded at Saddleback Community Church, and it was founded in 1992 by John Baker, who brought it to Rick Warren, because he wanted to do something on recovery. So it's been around for a really long time, where 500,000 people have gone through the biblically-based eight principles. It's huge. It is all over, not just our country. It is all over the world. So we are Celebrate Recovery. We do things the way that Celebrate Recovery has asked us to do things. They know it. They designed it, so we're going to trust them. So there are certain things that you need to do. Like you saw the acrostic of denial, where there's a D and an E and an I. That's all over the place, which really used to bug me. But I am not the sharpest tack in the drawer, and I remember things better because of the acrostic, so I appreciate that. So there's something that they ask us to do, right? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So who's not the sharpest tack in the drawer? So one of the things that we do is to involve the crowd right off first thing. Is you will say, somebody from the front will say, welcome to Celebrate Recovery from Malibu Beach or to wherever you are. And it's a great place to be on a, and everybody says Friday night.
And we all do it together. It's a lot of all we do it together.
And in my own stubbornness and selfishness in the beginning, I wouldn't say that because frankly, there's really a lot of better places to be on a Friday night. I felt like, I mean, with my wife, we're both there together, I could be elsewhere. And it has become something that I really like doing. So it has become, really has become a great place to be on Friday night, and I enjoy being there.
And he said that on Friday night to everybody. He's like, I just gotta be honest, I used to not like to say that, but so I thought that was funny. So we do that, we do worship, and then there's the biblically based eight principles, which is based on the 12 steps. Most of us are familiar with the 12-step program. We have someone that has been involved in a 12-step program, and you've been involved in it. And what John Baker did is he took these 12 steps, he took them captive to who Jesus is, and he took it out of just like if your struggle is with alcohol or drugs or anything that is really specific and kind of a physiological addiction. That's true. That is a huge part of the program. But it's also for those of us that struggle with life. I mean, I'm in recovery from life. It is hard. And there are things that I struggle with. And that is true for me. And so with these principles, we get to read them all aloud. And it was different. I was telling you this before in the first services. You know, we're not a church that does a lot of readings together. We don't speak a lot together. And that's good. That's in my comfort zone. I like it. So at Celebrate Recovery, it took a little bit of getting used to it. We read these principles together every week. And the first couple weeks we did it, I would zone out a little bit, to be perfectly honest. You know, it's like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. And I'm saying it. I'm with it. But there is something so powerful in doing that process. And it's us getting our minds in the place of, you know, we are here to realize that we're not God. We're here to consciously commit to Him. And from there, we sing a little more worship. We have some fun. We have different people do our announcements and thank the people because there's a lot of people that make it happen. And then we watch every other week. We either watch a teaching, which is what you watched tonight. We watched Denial. There are 24 teachings, and we do Johnny Baker, who's John Baker's son. And we do teachings just like that. It was a little bit jolty, but it's usually not.
Yeah, it was out of sync.
It was a little out of sync, but it was good. He's still awesome.
No, it was. It bugged me because
okay.
You know me. But CR is kind of for people that are a little out of sync.
You know what? It works for really. It's a little out of sync. It is not looking. If you're looking for like put together polished Friday night, is not going to be your
yeah.
scene.
Yeah. But the food's good.
Food is awesome.
And it is a family.
It's all family. We're all family. So we do a teaching, and then the following week, we'll do what's called the testimony. And we have a live testimony, or we do a lot of video based testimonies because we're new to the process, and that way we can.
How many people are here on Friday night generally?
The least amount we've ever had is 20, and the most we've ever had is 55. So
okay, good,
really,
good, good.
You know,
I'm trying to give you guys a feel for what happens.
We set up three rows on each side, and we'll kind of add rows. Not everybody comes for dinner, but most people are there for the large.
So there's a lot of pressure incoming, right? You have to be here on time. That's a joke. It's a family time. It's like your family. Nobody's on time.
Yeah. Like myself.
6:45.
6:45 to 7:45.
7:45, that's
we're
right.
We're done at 7:45. Some people leave, about half the people leave, and then we have what's called open share. And open share is gender specific, so the women are in here and we send the men other places. And it sounds, when you describe it, why don't you describe it? Because it sounds a little bit like, I do not want to go there, is what it sounds like when you describe it.
Open share is, there are some rules or some guidelines, we say, associated with open share, so that it's a safe place. It's an anonymous program, by the way. Me and I have chosen to step out and let you guys know what we struggle with and what we're going through with this program.
But don't tell anyone.
Don't go asking people. Do you do that CR thing? How about you? Do you do that CR thing?
Okay, if you go to CR, stand up right now. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You got like 3 minutes. You got 3 minutes or so.
The men's group is slightly smaller. I say 10 minutes. If you go longer than 10 minutes, we may cut you off, but you can go longer.
Right.
We time it, women. We time it because we tend to talk.
And one of the guidelines is you're free to say anything you want, and nobody's going to interfere if we don't fix each other. It's not a time to crosstalk. In other words, two individuals do not engage in the discussion. You're free to share what's on your heart.
Megan, to the point, to jump in. Even to the point where if somebody's crying, you don't rub their back.
Yeah. So
I mean, this is a big deal.
This is a huge deal because the thought of, it can be really overwhelming if you can't wrap your head around it. But what we do, we literally have an entire box of Kleenexes. We have like 15 different boxes of Kleenexes. And when we set up for open share for the women, the men don't do this, by the way. They don't take up their speed. I don't know what they're doing. They don't need Kleenexes. So if you are having a moment, if what you're sharing has brought you to a point of real pain, we are in that moment with you, but we don't manage your moment. And this is such a hard thing for me to learn as a person who loves to like comfort and fix people. It's like if someone's crying, we're not doing this and handing them tissues. What we're doing, it's not that we don't care.
You might even cry with them.
You can cry right. With them, but the goal is to be perfectly and completely attentive to what that person needs at that moment. And while that sounds terrifying or even terrible in some ways, to know that that person, I'm being heard.
And you go tell everybody the stories you hear there, right?
No, and that's the thing, too.
It's another rule.
You do whatever happens in that group, you do not really.
It's a Vegas thing in a right way.
Right, in a right way. And we don't come up to you after open share and talk to you about what you. Nobody's going to come up to me after what I shared and
right.
I had a moment and say, let me tell you what you should do. Nope. If I bring it up, we can talk about it.
One of the principles of CR, if I've got it read right, is if you're going to get fixed, you're going to need Jesus and you'll fix yourself.
Yeah, pretty much. We are not a bunch of professionals here to fix. We are people.
Fellow strugglers.
Of life on this pathway to freedom that Jesus has for us. And we trust Jesus in the process. We trust that there is healing for you. I am not the conduit for that. Jesus alone is the conduit for that. And in that, there is this freedom for us to encourage one another and be with one another and be messy together and trust that he is going to make beauty from those ashes. You know, the very first thing that Jesus ever did in his public ministry is he read from Isaiah, I have come to set the captives free, to bind up the brokenhearted. And that's really what Celebrate Recovery is all about. We let him do that. We're not there with band-aids to bind up the brokenhearted. We're there trusting that Jesus shows up with everything that you need to triage with.
So let's say somebody's in a marriage that on a 1 to 10 is like a 3 and they're struggling.
Yes.
Guys never want to go to counseling. It's just one of those things. You don't want to sit across from a counselor and go, I'm not telling you anything, right, Ken? Not doing that. What could Celebrate Recovery, could that add to that situation?
Absolutely. And
like the denial thing.
Like the denial thing, it can be for relationships. It can be for loss. You know, that for something that you've experienced, for loss, for childhood, for things like that. Because what it is, it's a program that focuses on not how do I change the circumstances. How do I change my response to the circumstance? How am I going to let God...
What if somebody's afraid to come because of just they don't want to share?
Yes.
They just want to be. How would you handle that guy or gal if they came for a month and said no?
And that's the beauty.
Would they get picked on?
Never. And especially in the open share, we have large open share groups. They're all mixed issues.
Well, they probably wouldn't go to open share for a long time.
But some women do and some
And they don't share. They don't have to share.
That's why we keep the group 25 to 30. Because if you don't want to share, you don't have to share. If you don't want to sing, you don't have to sing. Nobody is there unless you've invited someone into your life to be an accountability partner. Nobody is there saying.
Do you remember the early days of Bay Cities where you don't have to say anything, sing anything, or give anything? We just want you to be here.
Yes. Ah. It's very similar to that. It's got that vibe.
Oh, we got a vibe on Friday. Yeah, baby. Food and a vibe. Then what happens at 8:45? Because we could do this all day, and they want to go to lunch.
So at 8:45, we have such great furniture at Bay Cities, and so what we do is we set up this whole wing over there. We put a cappuccino maker over there. There's all sorts of leather chairs and couches and tables, and people hang out, and they can hang out. It's called Crosstalk Cafe. Hang out from about 8:45 to 9:30. About half the people stay, and some people, they have places to go. It is Friday night. And some of us just hang around and visit with one another. So it's a place of deeper connection. It's a place of getting to know one another. And the key is it's celebrate recovery. So, yes, we want to talk about what is real. We want to talk about the truth of our life. We want to talk about what our hurt is, what our hang-up is, and what our habits are. But we also want to celebrate who God is and what he has done, the small victories, the big victories. And so that's really what Crosstalk Cafe, that's what dinner is all about. And some people come for some and they leave. Some people come for all of it. It really is something that it's beneficial if you're into the process, and if you're not, we've had people come and think, that is so great, not so much for me. And that's okay. So here's what I would like to ask you to stop. Please don't stop looking me in the eye. That happened after last service.
Who?
Where I would like three people and they kind of look away. We are not taking your attendance and thinking everybody should go to celebrate recovery.
No. No, and yeah, the big reason why I did today, and I wanted to, I mean, number one, I couldn't talk, but I wanted to do this because I want you, you're all fishermen, and you may know some people that are really hurting, and the idea that our church provides a place for somebody that's really hurting and is a bit desperate, and that you're the hook and the bait, and you get to say, will you come, and maybe you bring them here on a Friday night, maybe it isn't their thing. But it's another way for us as a church to try to touch our community. And that's who we are. That's who we want to be. And now, to bring this to a close, so you get the heck out of here. I'm going to show you, this is my version of Celebrate Recovery, all right? This is not Johnny's version, but this is Jim's twisted thinking. But this is what Celebrate Recovery is to me. So watch this, and then I'll come up and I'll pray. This is what we're trying to do. Enjoy. Okay, so that's why I brought my ladder up here. This is a picture of Celebrate Recovery right here. And it's trying to get you out of a pit that you find yourself in. And this is it. And don't ever forget it. You may not be in a pit today. You may be doing well. And God bless you for that. Trust in Jesus. That's who we are. We're trying to teach that. He's the ultimate recovery opportunist that offers us recovery for our soul, that we can be promised heaven forever and ever. But sometimes in life, you need a ladder. And so that's Celebrate Recovery. It's your Celebrate Recovery. You don't have to go. It's not what this is about. But if you need help, there's a place with some really neat people here on Friday nights that will love you if you come once or come 10 or come 100 times. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you that we can attempt in our life to lean on you and do everything we can to follow you. And we want to love people no matter where they're at, no matter where they're hurting. And I pray you just help us in that process to be the best we can be, the most efficient we can be. Thank you for truth. Thank you for Ken and Megan being willing to lead out and celebrate recovery and love folks and deal with themselves as well. And may you bless them in this ministry. And may it touch hundreds and hundreds of lives in the South Bay in the next decade. May lots of people get healthy because of it. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for this church. And we love you, Jesus. We pray this in his name. And everybody said, amen. Have a wonderful day. Huh?